This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to Thursday, November 1st, 2018, the candy hangover edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
You mean the Reese's Cups, right?
Yes. The best candy, bar none.
And good afternoon. I'm Chris Kreidel. Mostly cloudy and cooler today. A high temperature of 53. It's 52 right now at O'Hare and 50 along Chicago's lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park, the market solidly in the green. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's correct, Rob, aka Prince Charming. I've seen the photos. We're going to have
my secret's out.
We have royal gains for you today. The Dow is higher by 222 points, or almost 1%. NASDAQ up 101 points, or more than 1%. And the S&P gaining 22 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index up 0.75%. Some welcome news on jobs. Jobless claims edged lower again, down to 214,000 for the week. That bodes well for Friday's big jobs report for October. The ISM's factory index for October fell, though, to a six-month low. Orders slowed and hiring tapered off amid the escalating trade row with China. We had exports alone the lowest since 2016. And finally, OPEC's crude production climbed to the highest level since, for at least in a couple of years. Increases by Saudi Arabia and Libya offset losses from impending U.S. sanctions on Iran. That has oil prices sliding almost 3% to $63.50. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
On today's Noon Business Hour, we are talking about the latest economic data, some very interesting facts coming in on over our desk this morning. Also, there are a number of workers for Google around the world are walking out today, and we'll tell you why.
Halloween is over. That means the holiday shopping season is upon us. We'll talk about online shopping and cybersecurity, and then some numbers after the bell today. Apple will announce its earnings. We'll talk about that coming up at 12:49.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Workers at Google are walking out today in many places around the world to protest the company's handling of sexual misconduct. We will cover that in our next segment. Right now, President Trump says that he's had a good conversation with China's leader concerning trade, while numbers on manufacturing top today's data. We're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg in New York. And let's talk first about the president says that they're making some gains maybe in understanding each other here.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. I think this could be the carrot coming before the stick. The president is due to meet President Xi of China later on this month, in fact, at the end of the month and the start of December at global meetings in Argentina. And I think that would be the main opportunity to potentially reach a compromise. But what we've seen in the past is this carrot and stick approach. So we'll see if this starts things in the right direction. But ultimately, I think we could have a bumpy road. And I don't expect resolution to be sowed at that meeting. In fact, what we're watching now in the markets is the exchange rate of the Chinese yuan relative to the dollar. And it's been weakening very, very close to 7-1 to the dollar, and that's kind of the line in the sand. By weakening, China's basically offsetting some of the impact of those trade tariffs. And the president has made it very clear that he's not going to allow China to have that escape route of simply devaluing their currency. And so I think this is going to be the major point of contention as not only the Chinese currency is bumping up against that band, but as the November meeting approaches.
And while we have to remind ourselves also that there's some elections next week, is it possible that the president talking calmly like this could help the candidates that he's supporting around the country?
Well, I think he's definitely testing the waters to see what issues will get traction ahead of the midterm elections. He's thrown out the possibility of tax cuts 2.0 because surveys were showing that middle-class tax cuts didn't seem to be registering much benefit from the tax reforms at the start of this year. He's obviously clamping down on border security and immigration rules as well. And so I think that this sense of potentially smoothing the relationship over with China may be an attempt in that regard as well.
And once you move beyond the conversation the president had with his counterpart in China, you look at some of the other economic numbers, especially out of the manufacturing sector, and to quote talking heads, same as it ever was.
Well, it looks very good, and the survey that we're talking about is the Manufacturing ISM, which is a national survey. That survey looks solid, but less solid than it has looked for the last several months. And in fact, if we look at one of the components of that survey, which is export orders fell to basically a three-year low. So that tells us that the economy seems to be doing well, but we are seeing some impact from those tariffs and trade war escalation now materializing in the data, not just national data like that, but we're going through quarterly earnings season as well, and we've heard lots of complaints in quarterly earnings calls that the tariffs are indeed making production costs more expensive, disrupting supply chains, et cetera, et cetera. And that was really one of the catalysts that contributed to the tremendous market volatility that we've seen over the last week and a half.
How does 2018 end, economically speaking?
I think 2018 ends well enough, but we're definitely going to have a sense that the economy is downshifting from a four handle on GDP growth in the second quarter to a three handle in the third quarter. Probably the final quarter of this year will be a 2% plus reading, but not 3%. So we'll see the economy coming off of this sugar high. That's a Halloween theme today on the show, I understand. The economy coming off of the sugar high of those tax cuts at the start of the year. The economy is doing fine, and it will do fine next year, but 2019 will not be a repeat of the gangbuster performance in 2018.
Well, thank you very much, as always, for the insights. Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg, based in New York. Coming up, Google employees believe the company isn't doing enough to curb sexual misconduct. We'll talk about that.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hundreds of Google employees in more than 20 offices around the world are staging walkouts today, saying the company isn't handling sexual misconduct cases properly. We're joined by Ina Fried, who is the chief technology correspondent for the news site Axios.com, based in San Francisco. Ina, welcome back to the program. What's happening at Google, and what was the moment that sparked this walkout?
So we have a series of employees, male and female, walking out from different Google offices around the world, as you mentioned, really in protest of a couple things around Google's handling of sexual harassment issues and treatment of female employees generally. The impetus for this, at least ostensibly, was a New York Times article last week that went into a few different cases of where either employees were still at Google, or in one of the cases that attracted the most sort of outrage, they paid a large amount of money to an executive who had been credibly accused of wrongdoing.
And this, you know, the Me Too movement has roiled a number of industries in different ways. We've watched it in media. We've watched it in Hollywood and in politics. Is this the first time it has really hit one of the big tech companies, or is this just the latest example?
In some ways, it's the latest example. What we saw first in tech was really the venture capitalists, because these were small firms where if you brought an accusation against one of the named partners or one of the big business dealers, you know, really just the accusation was enough to make the situation untenable. In the big tech companies, we hadn't really seen as much, although, you know, Google, some of this had come out before. It just hadn't been collected in as many all in one place and with as many details as the New York Times report had.
So what are we hearing from the male tech owners about these complaints?
Well, the CEO of Google, now remember, Google is now owned by a parent company called Alphabet. And so Google's founders, Larry and Sergey, they're all still at Alphabet, the parent company. Google CEO Sundar Pichai, who's been their CEO only for a couple of years now, has kind of said, look, this happened before me. We need to have a much harder line. We're not paying out people accused of harassment anymore. So he's trying to say, I hear you. I get it. You know, I think some of the employees are saying, let's see, you know, there's still things we want from you. We're not convinced change has happened yet.
Ina, thanks for joining us today. Ina Fried, Chief Technology Correspondent for the news site Axios.com. Still ahead, Technology Thursday, keeping personal and financial information protected during the hectic holiday shopping season.
WBBM News Time, 1225. WBBM Business is sponsored by Grandview Homes. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow is up 200 points, or 0.75%, moving above 25,300. NASDAQ is gaining 1.5%, or 110 points, and is now above 7,400. And the S&P adding 23 points, good for a gain of almost 1% at 2,734. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg also higher by almost 1%. Ford has joined Apple, Walmart, Home Depot, and AT&T on a growing list of companies that have signed on to a White House plan to help train and retrain the nation's workforce. More than 150 companies have pledged to create about 6 million apprenticeships and job training opportunities to help students and workers develop skills needed by employers. Big losses today for crude oil futures as we hear Libya and Saudi Arabia are pumping out more oil to offset losses coming from Iran in the wake of sanctions. So crude is at $63.50. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Beans have led sharply higher prices here today on a weaker dollar, and also China talk with the president of each country about trade talks. That plus Russia suspending exports from five places. We have December corn up 6 1/4 at 369.5. November beans are up 33 3/4, 872 3/4, and December wheat up 9 at 509 1/2. And if this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are higher today. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Technology Thursday, the holiday shopping season, is in prime time for cyber thieves who look to steal your personal information. We'll talk to an expert about that.
And anticipation is high as Apple is set to release its quarterly earnings report after the bell today.
21-year-old woman is dead after she was shot in front of children during a Halloween night robbery on Chicago's Northwest Side.
And Vice President Pence and Oprah Winfrey hit the campaign trail in the Georgia governor's race.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up by 221 points right now. The NASDAQ up 119, and the S&P 500 up by 25.
AccuWeather forecast for this afternoon, mainly cloudy and cooler, a high of 53. It's 52 degrees in Chicago under cloudy skies. The noon business hour continues at 1231.
Well, markets, again, are gaining ground today. We're joined by Michael Palumbo, who's the manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Tell us what it looks like to you, Michael, what the markets have been doing this week.
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Rob. Thanks for having me on. It really was a bloodbath in October, finishing off well in the last couple of days, but we hit a low on Monday that looked pretty ugly. You know, we're starting the month here in November strongly. That's not surprising given how poorly we did in October, but time will tell whether this rally will hold.
And when we talk to you, there's a lot of people who are persevering right now, waiting to know, you know, if they should invest more money or sit and kind of watch the trends for a while.
Well, as I said on my Twitter feed, and I reiterate here, I think that this definitely is a buying opportunity for select stocks that are 20-30% off their highs, especially in technology, where some of these stocks are actually they have no signs of weakness. It was just a sell off in some of the biggest high flyers, and I would say Nvidia would be one of them. You know, it's a stock that does trade at a rich multiple, but it was sold off over 30% in the month of October, and that to me is overdone. So, you know, you use these opportunities to get into names that maybe are selling a little too cheap and that you didn't have an opportunity to buy in the past. But at the same time, you know, there are going to be some stocks that sell off here. GE is a great example that continues to go down. It's been an ugly run for many, many years. So, you know, you have this market where it's rewarding the winners and it's punishing the losers. And now that we've had this pullback, you do have an opportunity to buy some of these winners that possibly are going to continue to do well.
As we enter the final 2 months of the year, there has been some discussion about the markets, or at least the Dow, giving away all of its gains for 2018. Are we going to end the year up, neutral, or down compared to December 31st of last year?
Well, that's the great question, right? So we did hit a point where the Dow was down for the year at the ugliest moments in October. Will we revisit that? My feeling is we won't, and I do think we'll finish the year on a slightly rally mode type scenario. Nothing where we go back to all-time highs, but I do think that the lows we saw in October will not be hit again this year. And then time will tell next year early on whether the trade tensions in China continue. And if they do, then we can go lower. But it would take some macro data coming out and some trade news coming out negatively that would cause markets, in my mind, to go lower than they did in October.
It is interesting watching this morning, and it just goes to show you the power of the bully pulpit of the presidency, where President Trump can say on his Twitter feed that he had a good conversation with his counterpart in China, and the markets respond to that, even though we're 3 years of Donald Trump, the political figure. We know he likes to speak in superlatives, and even with that knowledge, the markets took off.
Well, it shows you maybe a little bit how much sentiment had gotten so negative. So, yeah, President Trump has a knack for using Twitter as his way of communicating to the people. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that in this case, you know, markets were looking for any reason to rally. So, I don't think that President Trump can just say whatever he wants and just push the market higher. But I think it just showed how poor sentiment was and that the market was just looking for a reason to rally.
Michael, how important is the Fed and what it decides to do right now?
Well, you're seeing it in some numbers. The auto numbers, the housing numbers have all slowed because of interest rates. So the Fed believes it's on the right track and that it's going to raise a couple more times, once in December most likely. But, you know, they I hope they're paying attention. I know they are paying attention to these numbers that are coming out in durable goods and anything that needs to be financed, because they are slowing. So these interest rate hikes, even though they've been slow, they are affecting growth in the economy. So I think the Fed is going to be paying attention going into 2019 and how these numbers continue to come out. And we did have a fairly weak auto number come out today. So, you know, if these numbers continue to deteriorate, I believe the Fed will slow down. But right now they're saying they're going to raise at least a couple more times next year. So we will see how that plays out. But I do believe the Fed will slow its role if the numbers start to deteriorate.
And is that a calculated risk?
I would say so. And I think that you can count on the Fed to pay attention to the macro numbers and to modify their plans based on what comes out.
Thanks for joining us today. Michael Palumbo is manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Ahead, Technology Thursday, making sure your information is secure during the holiday shopping season.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and this afternoon we're talking about keeping your information secure as the holiday shopping season rapidly approaches. And we welcome in Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the Secret Service's Electronic Crimes Task Force. Jerry, welcome back to the program. And much as media outlets will run down the hot new toys and electronic items to get this holiday shopping season, what are the new and improved improve ways of stealing your identity. What's hot this year in terms of ripping people off?
Yeah, and really what's old is new again, right? So it's a matter of using old technology to grab your information. The big thing today are skimmers and shimmers. We thought when we got the a little chip on our credit cards that that was going to save us from everything. Unfortunately, all our credit cards continue to have those magnetic strips on the back, which are totally unencrypted. So what hackers do is they put little pieces of plastic in the payment systems that will grab the information off of that magnetic strip. That's called a skimmer. This is happening a lot right now in gas stations, especially in the Chicago metropolitan area, in the Chicago area. But shimmers now actually will read the data off of the chip and then allow hackers to create a credit card with a magnetic strip. So they're taking the new technology off of your chip and putting it into the old technology because we're still using it. So the problem is that old 1945 technology of the magnetic strip still exists out there. So, you know, those are the things that we have to be careful. You should never let your credit card out of your sight. If you're at a restaurant, people are going to restaurants, they're entertaining, they're doing a lot more things. Don't let the credit card out of your sight. Make sure that you're watching people, that they swipe it on a machine as you see it. If you see anything that looks weird in a payment system on a gas pump, then you should, you know, make sure that you pull it out and tell the boss. So don't do that.
So if we think that we're in danger of this happening, what do we do to prevent it? First step,
keep your credit card in front of you. Don't put it into anything that looks weird. You know, these skimmers don't belong in a machine. So if you see a little piece of plastic sticking out of an ATM machine or out of a gas station pump, grab it and pull it out. If it comes out, it wasn't supposed to be there, and then let the manager know. So just be aware of your surroundings. So it's kind of like they say, see something, say something. But the bigger problem today is really online purchases. And online purchases, it's going to be greater this year than ever before, to the point where it's almost surpassing the in-store brick-and-mortar type of sales. So what's happening is we're getting all these emails with coupons or with links to coupons and different things. And spam email is 96% of all hacks occur as a result of an email. So when you get an attachment that has a coupon on it, don't open it. Go to the website of the store and download it from them. Don't open anything from email. If you have a link from a store that says, click here, you're going to save 25 or 50%, don't do that. Go to the website and download the app or the coupon from there. Because these emails, more often than not, about 70% of the time, are some type of malware or different type of malicious application that can go out there. So it's important to actually go to the website and download it from there. Now, the other thing is a lot of people will go out onto Google or different search engines, and they'll search for deals. Well, when you search for a deal, on the first page, maybe you don't find it, and on the second page, you know, you still don't find it, so you go to the third page, right? Never go to the third page. Over 70% of all the links and stuff on different web browser or different web search engines are malware after the second page. So what you want to do is make your query a little bit better, make what you're searching for a little bit better, and try to go from there. Never go past the second page on your search engine.
Well, thank you very much for the suggestions, as always. Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, a preview of Apple's earnings report set to be released after today's closing bell.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, shares of Apple are just a little higher today, just hours before its much-anticipated earnings report. Let's talk with Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor in Orlando, Florida. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Gary, what are we going to see today?
Well, expectations are to be up about 35% on earnings, about 14% on revenues. Apple has a pretty darn good reputation of beating the numbers. And I have to tell you, these numbers for me are incredible for a company that does about $250 billion in sales and has a nearly trillion-dollar market cap. To be able to grow earnings in the 30s and the revenues in the mid-teens, it just is a testament to how great the company is and how they're able to maneuver with new hardware and, of course, services, which is picking up in a very big way.
And do you expect the numbers to go flying when they present the report later today?
I don't know. Look, we're in a very weird market. We just came off of what I consider to be almost like a slow motion crash. We probably hit a pretty good low in the last couple of days. The one thing that stands out about Apple, it is held up so much better than all the other growth names out there. So I'm just not sure how it's going to react, whether it's built in or not. While so many growth names drop 20, 30, 40%, I think Apple's 5% off its highs, which is another amazing story for it.
And what's the early intel, no pun intended, telling us about what Apple's going to say after the bell today? What's really driving their business?
Well, the two things. The amazing part is they were able to raise prices over $1,000 for phones and still selling a ton of phones. Services has picked up in a big way, and I expect services to be a gargantuan business for them going forward. And they're actually doing better on their other stuff that has been laboring. Even the watch has been talked about in a way that hadn't been talked about in a long time. But without a doubt, the phone is the driver, and all you got to do is visit stores and see they're still selling them and selling them at higher prices.
And I guess the watch is just a lesson that 3 years later, persistence pays off.
Persistence and smarts. You know, they've come out with the thought process, we can turn the watch into something that helps people medically. And I know a ton of people that are buying it just because of that. So, yeah, the persistence, keeping it out there, and then, tinkering with it. And I think they're onto something. I think that we're probably going to see some major improvements as we move forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and a Fox News business contributor based in Orlando. The website, GaryK.com. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Baird.
And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, stocks are extending recent gains and kicking off the new month in the win column. The Dow is up 188 points to 25,304. NASDAQ higher by 105 points or almost 1.5%. S&P gaining 20. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 1%. Better than expected quarterly results from Dow component Dow DuPont have its shares up about 7%. And what's better for the rest of the market, Dow DuPont is not seeing any slowdown in its business in China. Crude futures are sharply lower, down 2.5% now to $63.63 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55 from Bloomberg. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.